To you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is going to be taken from the reading in the Gospel of John. You may be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have united us to your Son, Jesus Christ, and that through us you have deemed it appropriate to bring forth fruit into this world, do good works for the glory of your name. We pray this day, O Lord, that you would grant us your Holy Spirit, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Today in our reading from the Gospel of John, Jesus says to his disciples, including to you and to me, that our Father is determined that his disciples will produce much fruit. God is determined to bring forth fruit from your life. Now, I love the language that Jesus has been using these last couple of weeks to describe our relationship with him. It's very creative language, and I mean, it does make some sense there. I mean, Jesus uses language to create everything, and so it makes sense that he would use creative images to help us understand how we relate to him. Last week, he talked to us about how he is the good shepherd and we are the sheep, the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And it was a beautiful image. But this week, he talks a little bit differently. This week, he talks about how he is the true vine and we are the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But when you abide in him, when you remain with him, through you, Christ will produce much fruit. It's a beautiful image. And Jesus is telling us today that God is determined to bring forth fruit from your life. Now, this is an image that is starting to make more sense to me. We in the Hiller household have a new hobby we've gotten into, and that is we have started planting our own fruit trees because we don't know what's going to happen to this country, and we're terrified that we might run out of pomegranates. So we have, not of pomegranates, I'm sorry, I got to make sure I have the right fruit down. They're not growing yet. Persimmons and guavas and apples and apricots. So if the whole thing goes down in this country and you're short on Moore Park apricots, come to my house. And because you're from the church, you'll get a discount on what we're selling there. But we've planted these trees. And what you start to learn is that if you want these trees to produce fruit, you got to do some work. You got to give them the right kind of fertilizer. You got to put them in the right kind of soil. You've got to water them. Now, the Lord has been helping us out with that quite a bit lately. And we see that our trees are already bringing forth a whole bunch of leaves. Stephanie, who has done the majority of the work here, as is par for the course, has cut off a lot of the excess branches so that the other branches can be stronger and bring forth better fruit. We've also decided to splay our trees. You know what that means? We put them up against the fence and we kind of spread out the branches like this so they grow in a particular way and bring forth fruit in kind of a beautiful way. But we've cleaned them, we've got them ready, we've pruned them, and now we're just waiting for the fruit. But if it's going to happen, requires some work on our part, but we are determined that those trees are going to bring forth fruit. God is determined that in your life, you are going to bring forth fruit. Now, what does that mean? Well, as you read throughout the New Testament, we see what a fruitful life looks like. Specifically, if we turn to the book of Galatians, Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit are things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these, Paul says, there is no law. Paul is teaching us, as Jesus is saying to us today, that his disciples, God's people, have lives marked by that sort of fruit. In fact, when that fruit is there, it glorifies God. Jesus says this, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciple." But here's the thing. We don't just produce fruit by going off by ourselves and trying really hard to get some kind of apple to come out from our hand. If we're going to produce fruit in our lives, God has got to do the work for us. God has got to do the work on us. And so Jesus teaches us today how God does that work to bring forth fruit from your life. He says there's two things that are really necessary in order for God's people to have fruitful lives. First, you must be united to the vine. And second, you must be pruned, or the word he uses is clean. So we're going to look at those two things today to see how God is going to bring forth fruit from our lives. First thing he says is this, is that if you're going to bring forth fruit, if a branch is going to bring forth fruit, it must be united to the vine. Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And just so we're really clear here, abide means to remain in or remain with. And I would suggest here it means even something a little bit more. That for us as Christians, it means not only do we remain with Christ, but we completely depend on him for everything. Now, I love how clear his teaching is here. He says a lot of stuff, but it's just so simple. Jesus says, if you're going to bring forth fruit to the glory of God, you've got to be united to me. But if you're not united to me, you're not going to bring forth fruit. I don't know if you've noticed this, as I showed in the children's message, but branches on the ground, they don't bring forth fruit. God takes those branches, throws them into the fire. They're not useful, Jesus says. If you're going to bring forth fruit, you must remain in me. And this, of course, is referring to the gift of faith. Faith depends on Christ for everything. Faith remains with Christ. It depends on Christ for everything, both for life and for salvation. Of course, we depend on Jesus to bring us to salvation, to accomplish our salvation for us, which he has done in his dying and rising for you. But we also depend on Christ for every aspect of our lives, physical and spiritual. This is why faith expresses itself by means of prayer. In prayer, we're saying to God, apart from you, we can do nothing. Apart from you, we are dead branches. We need you to bring forth fruit in our lives. As Martin Luther says, we are beggars. We have empty hands, and it's God who fills our hands with his gifts. It's God who brings forth the fruit in our lives, because apart from him, we can do nothing. So think of the Lord's Prayer. And there, we're praying that God's will would be done in our life. He has to accomplish that. We're praying that his kingdom would come. He's the one who brings that kingdom forth. We pray for our daily bread, for the forgiveness of our sins, for protection from temptation and the evil one. And it must be God to bring those things forth in our lives. Faith depends on him for all of it. And as we remain in him, depending on him, we grow stronger and we bring forth more fruit, which is a really interesting thing to think of. You might describe it this way, that as we learn to depend more and more on Christ, we become more, as you might say, mature in our faith. But we always have to be careful with that language of maturity in the Christian life. Because so often in our world, when we speak of maturity, we talk about somebody who is independent. A mature person, we think, is one who moves out, no longer depends on their parents anymore, but can get their own job and fend for themselves and take care of themselves. That's the mark of maturity in our world. And in Christianity, it is exactly the opposite. The more mature we are, the more we recognize how weak and needy and sinful and incapable we truly are. We grow to depend more and more on Christ Jesus. And to be more mature in the faith is to recognize our weakness, but to recognize more and more just how dependable Jesus truly is for you and for me. So what does it look like then for us to depend on Jesus, to remain, to abide, to be united to Jesus? The first thing is, it looks like going to church. I mean, we've been hearing a lot lately in our Bible study. We've been talking a lot about this, about people who have kind of stopped going to church and removed themselves from the church. And it's not just that because they're not gathering here on Sunday morning, but what we got to remember is that what goes on in church is that the branches are nourished by the vine. It's here that Christ shows up and gets into your ears and into your heart with his word. You hear that your sins are forgiven. You receive the forgiveness of your sins when the word is preached and you take the sacrament. It's here that when the reading of the scriptures and the hearing of the word, that it gets into our systems and causes us to depend on Christ more. As we sing the word, as we pray the word, as we receive all of these gifts, Christ is at work to bring forth fruit in our lives. And if we cut ourselves off from this source, we start to look more and more like dead branches. We depend on Christ, and Christ speaks to us in his word. And that's what he's doing in this place. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a promise. It's a gift. He's here every week for you to give you his word, to strengthen you in your faith. The other thing you have to realize is that as he does this, sometimes that work of Christ, it can kind of be painful. It's not always the easiest thing in the world to have God working on you to bring forth much fruit. And this gets us now to the second thing Jesus says. First, you remain in him. And second, the Father, he says, must prune you or clean you. Jesus says, every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now, to clean the vines doesn't just mean you take out a bucket of water and soap and you scrub off every grape or something like this. But to clean the branches means you go out and you remove all the dead leaves. It means you go out and you cut off those branches that aren't strong enough so that the other branches that are strong might produce better fruit. But there's a sort of cleaning, a pruning process for this to take place. Jesus says here, as branches united to me, the Father is at work on you, pruning you, cleaning you, getting rid of the excess and the deadness. He is at work in your life against all the sin and all the idolatry that prevents you from being fruitful in the vineyard. Now, he again says there's a couple of things you need to be aware of here. First, you need to understand that already before God, you, in a sense, are pruned. You already have been clean, Jesus says. Already you are clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Here Jesus is saying to you today, listen, that deadness, that excess, that sinfulness, that idolatry, it's forgiven. Already it's forgiven. It's interesting to note that the word for forgiveness that is used in the Greek New Testament, it has a bunch of different nuances to it. It's a word that can also mean something like removed from or separated from. And so the idea would be this. Jesus says, I have already removed your sins from you. I have already separated your sins from you. I have come to you and taken your sins away, your deadness away, and I've made it my own, and I've carried it to the cross. And there I have bled and died for it so that it is cut off from you completely. As far as the east is from the west, so far are your sins removed from you. So that as you stand before the judgment seat of God, you are declared righteous. Because you're already clean. Your sins have already been removed. You are forgiven. All on account of Christ Jesus. But then in that strange mystery of the Christian life, as true as that is, we also find that those sins, which we have had forgiven, still pester us. They still entice us. They still tempt us and draw us away. So Jesus says, every branch that does bear fruit, and there he's talking about you because he's united you to himself in baptism, and there's no way you cannot help but produce fruit, whether you see it or not. He says, every branch that does bear fruit, my Father prunes that it may bear more fruit. See, God is at work against that sin in your life. Galatians again says it this way, the Spirit is at war with your flesh, your old sinful nature keeps pushing back against God, is embroiling you in sin. So the Father must continue to prune, to clean, to expose your guilt with his law, to discipline you in his love, and to drive you away from your sin. And that process in us can be hard, and it can be painful, because sometimes those idols we have are the very things we love. Which is why I think sometimes when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we were talking about the Lord's Prayer a minute ago, one of the hardest petitions to pray is lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We always think the hardest one to pray is thy will be done, and that is a difficult prayer to pray at times. But sometimes we got to understand that when we say lead us not into temptation, we have to recognize that those things we're tempted by are the things that we love. We love more than God. And so in order for God to answer that petition, he in a sense must put that old sinful nature and those sinful desires to death. And dying isn't easy. Put them to death and raise us to a new life. This is why St. Paul can say in the book of Corinthians, I die daily. Or Luther says that daily we return to Christ in our baptism. Die and rise every single day, because this battle against sin in our lives is real and it's painful. The pruning away of my idols, my lusts, my pride, my slander can be a humbling and difficult process. Admitting my weakness and guilt is hard to face. Looking in the mirror of God's law and seeing all these dead leaves can be very embarrassing. But God does this with one purpose in mind. Not to remove us from the vine, but he cuts these things off so that we might cling all the more tightly to the vine. God does this to drive us back to Christ. Christ Jesus, who is always at work for you, forgiving you for your sins, who is always at work in you, purging out the sinfulness that remains, and is always at work through you to produce fruit in his vineyard. Apart from him, you can do nothing. And that's a hard message to hear. That's a hard pill to swallow. But today I have good news for you. You are not apart from him. You are a part of him. And God has determined that through you he will produce abundant fruit. And he will. For Christ is your vine. You are his branches. He remains in you. And so brings forth abundant fruit. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, that you have united us to your Son. And we thank you this day, Lord, that because you have united us to your Son, you have given us the Holy Spirit to bring forth his fruit in our lives. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to remain always in you, just as you have promised to always abide with us. Keep us in your care and give us fruitful lives. In Jesus' name, amen.